bank's still on.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning, or what's left of it, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is text me. Joining us now on the line, for now, he's our senior United States Senator, candidate, Republican nominee for governor, I should say. But Tommy Tuberville is with us. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well, doing well. It's been a little bit, but everything going well, I assume.
Yep, staying on. You know, we're on recess in D.C., so all around the state every day, working from corner to corner and just going out and talking to people about, most people want to talk about the SAVE Act and things that the federal government, we can't get done. We want to talk about NIL, but it's good. You know, people are getting, I think, more into voting. You know, the last couple of sessions of voting, the turnout was very, very small. And people just need to realize, you know, if you want to make a difference in government, you got to get out and vote and use what your rights are. And I think we'll have a much better turnout come November.
Well, turnout's been lackluster, but there's some hopeful signs here and there. I thought the way Florida came out, 500,000 more Republicans for the Republican slate than the Democrat slate. So there are some hopeful signs. Hey, but before we get too far into the politics, how you feeling about football season coming up?
Well, it's good that it's here now. You don't know what to expect with all this NIL and all the transfer as you and I visited about earlier before we went on, about all these players in the NFL now saying we're just going to go back to college. It doesn't look good for us in the NFL. We're just going to go back and play college football. And it's sad to see the rules have just gone out the door. And what's happened is we're denying now high school football athletes chances to play or get a scholarship because they're going to players that decide, hey, we'll just play 5, 6, 7 years. And it's totally wrong, but we got to get control of it somehow. But I don't know how we do it. I've tried to get things passed, and we've pushed hard for new eligibility rules, new transfer rules, Jeff. But at the end of the day, it's hard to get enough votes, especially the Democrats. They want to unionize all athletes, and there's no way we're going to do that.
Yeah, and the money is going to create these disparities, I suppose. And how long will it remain a viable, profitable thing if you have 5-10 teams that are just going to dominate every year?
Yeah, the Ohio States and the Texases that are now over $50 million a year paying players. You're just buying a football team. That's what you're doing, and it's unfortunate. But I think and I told the president this: we just do one thing. Just don't worry about the NIL. The money's going to be there. But if you would just create a situation where you only have 5 years to play, and after that fifth year, you can't come back no matter what. No, I don't care what a federal judge says or anybody. And you can only transfer one free time. Normally, we don't have any free transfer, but give them one free transfer. Coach leaves or death in the family, that's fine. Do it for the right reasons. But we have to put academics back into this. But it's turning into minor league NFL. And if you look at the college basketball, and I spend a lot of time talking to basketball coaches, John Calipari is really on top of this, is all they're signing now is international players. There's no high school kids getting college scholarships in basketball anymore. They're going and signing these 22, 23-year-old kids and are men in these international leagues that want to come to the United States and make money. It's ruining what we had created as an atmosphere where kids had an opportunity to get a great education and also further their athletic career by coming to a university in America, if you're a high school kid in this country.
Yeah, well, and all these opportunities, and then the other sports that aren't revenue producing, I got to think it would have some kind of impact on that as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got to save women's sports, and it's in trouble if we continue down this path. There's not going to be any funding for it. And then, of course, you know, we we have this bill out there, and it's getting better. We put some things in, and it really crosses the line, putting federal government too far in charge of college sports. But it probably not going to make it. We'll probably vote on it here in a couple of weeks when we get back. The problem is they still will not say men can't play in women's sports. And that's the game. That's a deal breaker right there for us in the Republican side, and really all Americans across the country that's got really understand what's going on. We can't allow men to get into women's sports, and you're seeing it happening more and more right now. And I'm really glad that you got a lot of young women coming out, this Cunningham and you know, some of these WNBA players. But I tell you, they're getting trashed for it. And who would have ever thought that you would get beat down by Americans that really want men to play in women's sports? Is crazy.
Yeah, it's just you know, and violating all these, you know, cultural norms that have been in place for thousands of years, and now it's taboo to be on the wrong side of that. We're joined by Tommy Tuberville here on the program. Coach, a lot of news down here on this bridge. You know, you assumed the governor's role. What do you think about Barry Moore, Senator Elliott down here have some ideas about naming the bridge, but what do you make of all of it?
Oh, we got to have the bridge, and I've spent a huge amount of time the last 2 years on this, and it should have been built 20 years ago, but we just had people just kick the can down the road and couldn't get people on the same page. Well, we finally did it. We finally got it, and a huge part of it was because of a guy that really loved the state of Alabama. And just in his first year and a half of being president for his second term, President Trump, he's given the economy in the state of Alabama about $10 billion, $10 billion. And it is just, he's been awesome. Now, I saw where some people were saying, let's name it after Jimmy Buffett, or somebody said President Trump. It makes no difference. I mean, this is not a President Trump. It's not a deal breaker for him. He could care less. He's trying to help us out. So let's let the people that will make that decision will be the legislatures when they go into session here in a few months. But again, we're 4 years down the road of having this thing built. So let's get it built first, and then we'll worry about who to put their name on it. But again, it's just a blessing that President Trump has given us opportunity to do it, because $3.6 billion is a lot of money that we don't have, that obviously is going to be paid some by the taxpayers, but also going to come from the goodness of President Trump's heart, because he understands we really need it. And Katie and I have been really pushing this now for the last 2 years, and we finally got across the goal line.
You feel pretty good about the plan the Governor Ivey has gotten through. The toll authority greenlit it to do the toll and all of the financing. And now we've been down this path before, and in 19 it got disrupted. But does it seem like this is the direction we're going to go?
Yeah, I think everybody's on board now. The commission on both sides of the bridge over in Baldwin County and in Mobile County. You got everybody to agree to it. Again, it's going to be a toll. I hate tolls, but you can't build anything now without a toll. The cost is just enormous. And it's going to be a lot cheaper on people that are Alabama residents than it is on people coming from out of state. It's a national security threat. We got to have it. President Trump, that was one of the main reasons that he stepped in and said, enough's enough. We're going to build this thing. And so I think the funding is going to be there. Again, it's in two phases. You got the Bayway, but the first thing that will be built will, other than the Bayway, we're going to three lane that, but it'll just be striping because it's wide enough to do that. And then, of course, the bridge. And it's, I've talked to the contractors, the people in charge. I think it's going to be awesome. It will really move the traffic on. And eventually, we're going to have to three lane past the Bayway over all the way to the state line in Florida, because when that traffic continues to pick up, we have more and more traffic. You're going to have some traffic jams if you go from a three to a two lane over on the Baldwin County side. So there's a lot of things we got to look at, but the thing we got to do is we got to get that bridge, and we got to get away from those tunnels.
Coach, beyond just the bridge, and you assume that role as governor, like I said, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done around Alabama regarding roads and bridges. We've been repaving a lot in the last 5 years, but do we start going in a different direction, you think, once you're governor?
Yeah, we've already started a plan of what we're going to do. We started about a year and a half ago, Jeff, of what we need first, the priorities. And of course, everybody puts pavement down, but we got to build different roads. We got a 3-lane 65 and 85. We're getting more and more traffic from the north. We've got to do a lot better job on some of the smaller roads and some of the bridges. You know, we have 2,000 bridges in our state that are condemned, and we're still driving over them, and we have not done nothing to them. And so we'll put a total plan together of what we need to do first, what we're going to do month by month. We spend a lot of money on roads and bridges. That's one of the biggest budgets that's in the state government. But we've got to use it the right way, and we've got to take care of them. We've got a lot of things going on with some of the bypasses. We need to build some new bridges in some areas to overcome some of the trains. We're going to have more and more train traffic over the years, because we're trying to get the big trucks off the road and use trains to get stuff from the port, for instance, all the way up to Huntsville or over to eastern part of the state. So there's a lot of things that we've got to do to make sure we continue to make the traffic move. The one thing I want to do is we're going to grow the state. We're going to have more manufacturing. But how do you do that? You do that by ensuring of transportation, energy, and water. We're going to use our waterways more. We're going to redo some of the lock and dams. We're going to put more traffic on Tom Bigby, the Warrior, Alabama River. And then, of course, we're going to make sure that if we have an opportunity to make sure we continue our train traffic, but also increase it, because we've got a chance here with the future of the trains of really taking advantage of the port and getting things out of the port, but keeping it off of our 4 and 6 lane roads to make sure we just have more cars instead of more trucks going up and down the roads.
Yeah. And when I was growing up, the Tom Bigby waterway was such a big deal. And then it just sort of, you didn't really hear as much about that, but it connecting the Tennessee River to the port down here. And, I guess there's the opportunity there to do more with some of the waterways in this state.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. We've got more running water in the state of Alabama than any other state. We got to take advantage of it. Tom Bigby's one. Again, that's how we got that Hadrian plant moved up to Muscle Shoals. President Trump gave it to us. We'll create thousands of jobs making submarines next to the Tom Bigby. We'll make a part of it, put it on a barge, and we'll barge it down to the port and ship it all the way around to New Hampshire where they finish out the submarines. We got a huge plan. We just got to continue to get the funding from President Trump, which he's given it to us, but take advantage of the water that we have. And again, it's not just the Tom Bigby. It is all the waterways in the state that we've got to use more and more and have a plan for it.
Coach, let's talk about this sort of national politics, but the trend on the Democrat side and this kind of slow creeping socialism. A lot of these candidates are starting to win. It used to be kind of a fringe movement. We've gone through it in this country before. Maybe you'd have a candidate win, but no one thought much of it. But people are more and more kind of embracing this ideology, and I think that's problematic long term.
Yeah, it's scary. It really is to see that a lot of these people in some of these states are just downright communist. And the problem is there's no Democrats anymore. You have some Democrats say they are, but if you vote Democrat, you're voting more for socialism and communism, because that's the party that they live in now. And it hadn't gotten into Alabama as much as it's gotten into some places like Michigan or Illinois or some of the northern states. But it's coming to us if we don't watch it, and we've got to fight back. We got to understand that, if you were a Democrat 10 years ago, now you should be a Republican. because you actually even believed in the country back then if it's a Democrat. Well, these Democrats now want to change it. They want to change the country to socialism, communism, write everybody a check, big government, higher taxes, and give these crazies a chance to just absolutely control through a different type of government. No constitution. I've seen it change in just the 6 years I've been in Washington, D.C., and we fight it every day. But I tell you, we got to really be careful in our educational systems that I think a lot of this is coming from there, these places that you get some of these professors on some of these campuses and they're preaching this indoctrination instead of teaching academics. And it's just unfortunate. So we in the South, not just Alabama, have got to keep more of an eye on what's going on, because we'll be the last one standing if we don't watch it. And then it'll even consume us. But we have to fight back. We have to understand we live in a constitutional republic that is built on a set of laws that have been with us 250 years. And we're a Judeo-Christian country. We're, you know, there's no religion talked about in terms of Christianity when it comes to Democrats anymore. They've just basically washed their hands of it. And so we've got to make sure we understand where we came from and where we're headed. And it's a scary time in our country. It really is.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. This is kind of related, but, election outlook and, I think personally it's going to be really linked to gas prices or affordability or whatever, but you see relief coming, and do you see that maybe helping Republicans in November?
Yeah, what people don't realize, and again, I was right in the middle of it for the last 6 years, when Joe Biden opened up those borders and we allowed 20 million more illegals to come in, which probably put us somewhere around 40 million illegals in this country. It took away a lot of jobs. It's taken a lot of housing and run housing costs up. It's run insurance up. It has caused taxes to go up. It's caused food prices to go up. And a lot of it's because those borders were open. People don't realize the amount of people that come in here. All of a sudden, there were less products. People were having to pay more, because that's what happens when you have less products on the shelf and gasoline. It's just unfortunate now, this Iran war, and President Trump knows that this Iran war has caused prices to go up in terms of gas. But, I can remember Joe Biden, the oil was $120 a barrel and gas was $4 a gallon. I don't understand the significance now when it's $80 a barrel and it's somewhere close to $4 a gallon. It doesn't make sense to me why prices haven't gone down on gas. But again, that's up to the people that work in the energy business. But again, 40 million people being here that shouldn't be here, that's causing a lot more problems in our food supply, energy supply, housing supply. And it was all caused by the Biden administration. And President Trump's trying to get it straightened out, but you can't do it in a year and a half. Let's give him another 2.5 years and see what he can do.
Coach, we always appreciate your time. Let's do it again real soon, and best of luck out there.
All right, yeah, thank you.
Tommy Tuberville, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Almost goodbye. There was sun through the blinds this morning,